5-7 the game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands? River Islands and Lathrop. What's going on, Lomas? How you doing, man? Did you have a great Christmas? Happy holiday season?
Yes, it was great, Joe and Joe. I had a wonderful time. Got a chance to go down to Miami, visit with family. Now we out on the West Coast getting ready for a battle tonight with the San Francisco 49ers.
Let me ask you about last year's NFC Championship game, because you guys returned back to Levi's, and I was sitting in the stands up in the end zone, and I'm thinking, wow, like, Detroit is just bringing it. They're faster. They're better. They're the better team, period. Like, that's what I saw through the first two quarters. And I think the Niners were lucky to only be down 17. And then that third quarter happened, and it was still a game in the balance in the fourth quarter. A couple balls go your way. Reynolds catches a couple passes. Like, that's one of those losses I didn't know if any team could recover from. And not only have you guys recovered from that, you guys have had a monster season. Looking back on that NFC Championship game, what's the point for you that is the hardest to get over?
Yeah, man, you're right. I just got through watching the game again just to kind of get refreshed with a lot of things, just to kind of see if there's some things that we may use this year that we – I just think the biggest thing for us is that we kind of lost our identity in the second half. I mean, if you think about the first half, we came out pounding the ball at the 49ers, and that was in the run game. We really established the run with David Montgomery. Of course, Jamison Williams, he scored on the run, a reverse run. So I thought the blueprint was there for us to continue the same blueprint that we had first half, which was to establish the line of scrimmage and continue to run the ball and eat up time. And it just really didn't happen in the second half. And that's kudos to San Francisco making the necessary adjustments they needed to make.
Lions radio color analyst Lomas Brown joining us here on the Morning Roast, Spadoni and Ferbonte Hill alongside Joe Shasky. And, you know, how long have Lions fans been waiting to dish out this revenge? As soon as you saw that schedule release, Lomas, was this circled for a lot of Lions fans? And I get it now. It's kind of interesting, right? Because this game, it's not, I don't want to say meaningless, because that you know, the players are playing for something. Brock Purdy's still playing for something. There's pride factor and stuff like that. But as soon as, you know, yesterday's slate ended, it's Sunday Night Football, it's next week, Vikings, Lions for the number one overall seed in the NFC. Did tonight's game lose a little bit of its luster, or is there still a revenge factor for Detroit here?
Oh, no, it's got to be revenge factor here. I mean, I feel that way, and I didn't even play in the game last year. So I know those guys in that locker room, and we still have a lot of guys in that locker room that were part of that game last year. They have to feel some type of way. And the reason why is because this week leading up to this game, you have to watch that film. So you get to sit back and watch that film of what happened in the NFC Championship game. Whether you played good or bad, you have to take that medicine. And I think a lot of it is still stinging with these guys in Detroit. And I think the revenge factor will play a lot. Even with the coaching staff, I think the revenge factor is going to play a lot with this team tonight.
Whenever like a team loses the AFC or NFC championship game, sometimes you just get snuffed out, right? Like, for example, when the Niners lost to the Eagles, you know, Brock Purdy went down, but I thought the Eagles were one of the best teams in the league that entire year. I thought even winning on the road was going to be difficult. I don't know if the Niners win that game or even win in the Super Bowl, but there's other times when we lose and it's like, yeah, not only should we have won that NFC championship game, we should have won the Super Bowl. Do Lions fans and the players themselves feel like they should have been the team playing the Kansas City Chiefs and that they would have won that Super Bowl?
Absolutely. I mean, we felt like it was a lost opportunity, to be honest with you. I mean, think about it. You up 24, you up about 17 points and going into the second half of the NFC Championship game. You were going to face a team that we had beat earlier that year in Kansas City, so you had a sense of confidence if you would have got to the Super Bowl that you had the opportunity to beat a team like Kansas City. So, yes, it definitely seemed like a missed opportunity last year. And coming into this year, the thing was, it's Super Bowl or bust. I mean, I think, you know, and it may not be a failure for the fans back in Detroit, but I just think for the organization, the guys sitting in the locker room, those coaches and everything, if we don't get to a Super Bowl, I think they're going to look at it as a failure.
Wow. I know you said you watched back the game. I did too this week, and I was reminded of how good Brock Purdy was with his legs in that game.
Yes.
Let's see, you're saying yes. And I also noticed how, and the Niners fans are very familiar with Jared Goff. He played in Marin Catholic, played at Cal. We wanted him. He goes to the Rams. We watched him there. Last year, when you move him off his spot, he just isn't as good of a passer. I feel like this year, and I don't watch as closely as you, but he's been better in terms of resetting his feet and throwing across the field. Whereas Brock's kind of regressed in the scrambling aspect this year. What are your big takeaways from these two quarterbacks from where they were last year in that game to where they are now?
Yeah, Joe, I agree 100% with you. And the one thing that you're going to notice about Jarrett now, he'll pull it down and go get the yardage. Jarrett has used his legs a lot more this year, and not just to get out of trouble or to buy time. He's used his legs to pull the ball down and go get that first down or go get the necessary yardage that we need to get. So that's the biggest thing, like you say, that I noticed in Jarrett. And I just think the thing with Brock Purdy, not having his weapons around him, you could tell that kind of really affected him. Well, I've seen in some of the games he played early, he looked a little indecisive. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't just drop back 1, 2, 3, get the ball out of his hands, or drop back 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 and get the ball out of his hands. He seemed like he's scanning, he's searching. He's not just letting it go like he did last year. So that was one of the biggest things. And I'm quite sure it has something to do with, like I say, him missing a lot of personnel on the offensive side of the ball this year.
And we're speaking with Lomas Brown here, former NFL offensive tackle, played for the Lions for 11 seasons, and current radio color analyst for the team on 97.1 The Ticket, our sister station down in Detroit. And Lomas, you're talking about just, you know, missing pieces on the offensive end. Talking about missing pieces on the defensive end with this Detroit Lions team. Like, I got to laugh. You just got to laugh to hide the pain, right, Lomas? Like, I'm looking at I'm looking at it right now. Aiden Hutchinson, IR. Kyle Pecco, IR. Aleem McNeil, IR. Wingo, IR. Rodriguez, IR. Anzalone, IR. Kaminsky, IR. Derek Bonds, IR. Carlton Davis, IR. It just goes on and on and on. How have they been able to... I'm not going to say, because you miss those guys, obviously, but how have they been able to right the ship, if you will, and be in a position to play for the number one overall seed at home next Sunday in Detroit? How have they been able to weather the storm with all these defensive injuries?
I think Aaron Glenn has done a marvelous job of doing that. And I think the thing that we do that we're a lot better at this year is we're a lot better at disguising some of our pressure looks. We're a lot better at doing that, you know, so you don't really know where we're going to send pressure from. Sometimes, yeah, we'll line up and show it to you, but a lot of times it's disguised. They timing it up very well. Sometimes we'll show pressure and won't come with the pressure. So Aaron Glenn has done a marvelous job of just changing things up, using his personnel that he has, too. Like you say, Ifeatu Melifonwu, we just got him back, a big safety that we could have used all season long, and that's kind of helped Brian Branch and Kirby Joseph out. So you're right. It's been a war of nutrition with our guys on that side of the ball, but Aaron Glenn has done a great job. And I think the guys that have had to fill in, they've done a great job of filling in for some of those big-name guys that you mentioned earlier that we don't have. So it's been a collective effort, but I give Aaron Glenn all the credit in the world.
And to his point, Shasky, I mean, Aaron Glenn and Ben Johnson, the offensive and defensive coordinators, both going to be head coaching candidates probably, you would assume, this offseason. So, you know, Dan Campbell are going to have to deal with something that Kyle Shanahan potentially has had to deal with, losing those top coordinators and still trying to be a contender.
Oh, without a doubt. And, you know, I'm hoping that, and we know, I mean, they've been after Ben 2 years. Aaron Glenn, like you said, is at the top of a lot of lists. And then the thing about it, like you just said, with what Coach Shanahan has had to deal with, not only do you lose coordinators, but you lose assistant coaches that may go with the coordinators. You lose top office personnel people too. When you're a good team, a lot of teams come poaching. You got the vultures flying over trying to get these guys. So we know that this team is going to look totally different next year. That's why this is the year to get it done. We have to get it done this year because we have the right pieces, the chemistry. We got everything in place right now, besides, you know, the injury factor. But everything else is in place for the Lions to get to a Super Bowl and not just get there, win the Super Bowl.
You know, Lomas, watching that game last year, the two matchups that I couldn't get over in real time. Watching it back, it was a gladiator battle on both sides. Penei Sewell versus Nick Bosa was just unreal. And then watching Trent versus Aiden Hutchinson. I loved Aiden coming out. I thought the Trayvon Walker pick in front of him was crazy. And he just fell in your guys' lap. And he's been better than I ever anticipated. Losing him, I thought, was going to just wreck the defense. He is such a great player. He's more agile than Nick Bosa, but he's relentless like Nick in that sense. How big of a loss individually just has he been? Because he's such a great player.
Yeah, it was huge. And don't forget, he's a hometown kid. So a kid that played at University of Michigan, a kid that played high school football in Michigan. So he was a beloved figure for us. So not only was it crushing for the team, I think it was crushing for the city of Detroit because of what this kid meant to us. And you are so right. I knew the one thing as a young player, the one thing that was going to get Aiden over the curve as a young player was his hustle. The guy, every play, he plays every play like it's his last play. And I know I used to hate going against guys like that that played to the whistle each and every play. And that's what you're going to get out of Aiden. And then the other thing with that is that it became infectious for the rest of that defense. You know, when you're sitting there and you're watching this guy play at this level and give this kind of effort, it's automatically going to make you want to do the same thing. And you've seen guys pick it up. John Kaminsky, another guy that's been on IR that we've missed all year long. You know, we have some guys that really followed Aiden and really, really kind of emulated the energy, the effort that he brought to the game. So it was huge. It was huge for us. And I give the guys in that locker room a lot of credit for being able to get over that injury and continue to win and play the way they have been.
Talking to Lomas Brown here, Lions radio color analyst for 97.1 The Ticket out in Detroit. Lions, Niners tonight, Levi's Stadium. It's going to be rocking. It's going to be exciting. And I look at this Lions team, and I look at the rest of the NFC. Lomas, how do you shake it out? Like, the one team, I'm not going to say fear because you don't fear anyone, but you respect their game. But the one team that gives you pause that could be stepping in front of the Lions come playoff time is who?
For me, it's going to be the Minnesota Vikings. Even after what happens on next Sunday when we play them for all the marbles, that's who worries me. Everybody was talking about, well, it should be Philadelphia. No, Philly doesn't worry me like that. It's Minnesota or even Green Bay that would worry me more than the Philadelphia Eagles. Why? Because they're a division of foes. They know us inside out. It's always a tough game when you go against your division of foe. And it's always hard to beat a team three times, especially if we beat Minnesota next week, which I expect us to do. It's always hard to beat a team three times in 1 year. So, to me, I'm more worried about them than I am the Philadelphia Eagles.
You guys have drafted such a great team, and you've acquired such a great team. Like the Jared Goff trade, I know Stafford won the Super Bowl. It's been a great trade for you guys. Just a great trade. You trade down, you still draft Gibbs, you bring in Laporta. Amon-Ra St. Brown has been an absolute monster. Penei Sewell is one of the best tackles in the game. Who's the best player on this team right now? I know that's a tough one. It's kind of a moving target. But if you had to, like, lay it down, and you got obviously a character in Dan Campbell that everybody kind of likes, and he fits that town. But who's the number one star on this team right now?
So I'll give you two answers. One, coming into the season, my MVP of the team was David Montgomery. That was my guy. He was the cog in that engine that made it work, man. He really was. Now that he's been out, right now, I probably would have to go with Jahmyr Gibbs. And the reason why I'm saying that is because of the load that he has to carry right now. Not only in the run game, but he has to carry it in the pass game. And not only in the pass game, think about it. Pass blocking, too, which is one of the hardest things for running backs to do. But he's been doing a great job of picking up the inside blitz when he's had to do that. Of course, he's a weapon, like I say, in the passing game. And he's been a weapon for us, a hard-running, hard-attacking guy in the run game. So, to me, I would say right now it's Jahmyr. But preseason, going into the season, until he got hurt, my MVP was David Montgomery.
We'll get you out of here with this one, Lomas, and we appreciate the time. Your overall thoughts on Brock Purdy, the season he's had coming off an MVP caliber season last year. You lose Brandon Ayuk. There was a lot of drama in the offseason, Ricky Pearsall, all that. The guy gets shot. He hasn't had his rookie wide receiver. Debo Samuel's been hurt at times. Like, it's just been a crazy year. And your thoughts on the 49ers quarterback who's going to be expecting a payday after this season?
Yeah, I mean, I think you have to. I really do, because, again, the burning question is, if it's not him, then who? I think you guys still have Trey Lance or no,
gone.
I think he's moved on.
Yeah, he's in Dallas.
Dallas now. Yeah, so if it's not Brock Purdy, then who? I mean, he's shown that he's a high-quality quarterback. He's shown that he's a quarterback that can lead you to the Super Bowl. He does all the right things. He says all the right things. He seems to be a leader in that locker room. So I don't see him. Again, the year doesn't look like it looked last year, but we know it's a lot of reasons for that. So to me, I think you pay Brock Purdy. I don't know if you reset the market and do stuff like that, but I know you have to pay him the average of what some of these guys are making. So why not? Why not pay the guy? Because he's proved to me, and I think he's proved to hopefully San Francisco, that he's the quarterback that can lead you guys.
Lomas, hey, we appreciate
great
the time,
stuff.
Man, and you have a great call tonight, all right?
Thanks, guys. Take care.
All right, that was Lomas Brown who joined us on the River Islands guest line. All guests on any